Okay, well, everybody knows what I'm going to say, so let me just go ahead and do it. And that is, turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. We are almost through the book, and that means we're almost through the Torah. The parsha is called Nitzavim, and that, of course, is the way that it begins. It also is one of the, I guess I'll come right out and say it, it's one of my favorite Torah portions, and it's also, I will suggest, one of the most important because it has a couple of major attributes, too. One, it contains what I have often referred to as the single best two-word summary of the Torah that I believe is in the book, and we'll get to that, but it basically amounts to choose life. And two, and this is important, and it certainly is at the heart of a lot of things we're seeing right now, too, it debunks one of the biggest lies that is in the Hoar Church, but is not actually in the book, not in the Scripture. And we'll get to that one, too, but essentially that one is nobody, maybe except for Jesus, can possibly keep the law. And that, of course, is a big lie, and the reason why is in here. So let's talk about it. Again, it's Deuteronomy chapter 30, actually 29. We're gonna take a run at chapter 30. So chapter 29, verse 9 at this point, and it says, "You are standing, Nitzavim," and it's all of y'all are standing, "Hayom, this day, before Yahuwah your El, your heads, your tribes, your elders, your officers, even all the men of Israel." But that's not all. "Your little ones, your wives, the stranger that's in your midst in the camp, from the hewer of the wood to the guy that draws your water, so that you should enter into the covenant of Yahuwah Eloheka, your El, and into his oath, which Yahuwah your El makes with you this day, Hayom." Now let's pause there, and I got a couple of comments I want to make on this. One, the conjugation of this word, "you are standing," is kind of interesting. It's called Nifal conjugation. And another way that some of the sages will say that it's better to think of it, and it fits with this other word that's going to appear a lot in here, is "you have positioned yourselves." Huh? You have positioned yourselves. You're standing. Well, okay. So what does that mean? I think the key is, and I have spent a lot of time talking about it in years past. I'm going to just mention it, though. In chapter 29 alone, Hayom, this day, that word, appears seven times. Chapter 29 alone. Guess what? It appears seven more times in the next chapter. It is mentioned a lot. And the reason why I think it's interesting that you have positioned yourselves, you are standing this day, is because this day is one of those interesting terms, right? I have a friend that's a former attorney that likes to say this state. This state, we think of it, you know, as that means Texas or Colorado, wherever you are. No. It means this state, and it's a separate entity. Well, this day is arguably a separate entity, too, because this day applies to any day and every day on the day that we experience it, that we are living it ourselves. That's why it's so cool to think that he says you're standing this day. All of you, we are this day. So if you want to think about it, this is a covenant that is in fact renewed each and every time we realize that this day is in fact this day, and that is in fact where we are. This ability to enter into the covenant of Yahuwah your El, that he may establish you this day, Hayom, unto himself for a people, that he may be unto you an El, a God, as he spoke unto you, and as he swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And not only, and this is key, and it fits with the this day theme, not only with you, he says, in other words, that we're standing there on that this day, but those today. Not only with you do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that stands here with us, Hayom, before Yahuwah our El, and also with him that is not here with us this day, Hayom. And guess what? I conclude that means us. For you know, this is Moshe reminding them, you know how we dwelt in the land of Mitzrayim, how we came through the midst of the nations through which y'all passed. You've seen all of their detestable things, their idols, wooden, silver, stone, gold, all the things that they had with them. And lest there should be among you any man or any woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away, Hayom, from Yahuwah our El, to go and serve the various gods of those nations, lest there should be among you, this is an interesting way to put it, a root that bears gall and wormwood. And it comes to pass when he hears the words of this curse that he blesses himself, his own self, and his heart and says, hey, I'll have shalom, peace, even though I walk in the stubbornness of my own heart, that the watered may be swept away with the dry, that Yahuwah would not be willing to pardon him. Huh? But then the anger of Yahuwah and his jealousy will be kindled against that man, and all of the curse that is written in this book will lie upon him, and Yahuwah shall blot out his name from under heaven. We see references throughout Scripture to this book, right? The Lamb's Book of Life. That seems to be what Moshe is also talking about, some book anyway, and his name is going to be blotted out of it. And Yahuwah will separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant, the Brit, that is written in this book of HaTorah. And the generation to come, your children that will rise up after you, and the foreigner that will come from a far land, they'll all say when they see these plagues of that land and the sickness wherewith Yahuwah made him sick, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone, sulfur, in other words, salt, burning. It's not sown, nor doesn't it bear anything, nor any grass grows there. Kind of like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Admah and Zeboim, which Yahuwah overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Even all the nations will say, whoa, wherewith has Yahuwah done all of this stuff to this land? What does this great anger, what does the heat of this great anger mean? And then the men will say, well, because, and listen to this and ponder it in the context of where we are today, this day, Hayom, because they forsook the Brit, the covenant of Yahuwah, the Elohim of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them up forth out of the land of Egypt. And what did they do? They went and served other gods, worshipped them, gods that they did not yada, lo yadaim, y'all, that's the plural y'all form, didn't know them. And, by the way, that he had not allotted unto them. They're fakes. Therefore, the anger of Yahuwah was kindled against this land to bring upon it all of the curse. Notice that it seems to be singular that is written in this book. And Yahuwah rooted them out of that land in anger, the land that he gave them, and in wrath and in great indignation. And he cast them into another land as it is. Now, this is interesting, right? They're listening to this. They have not yet entered the land. He's talking about a future time, and here he is saying, as it is, Hayom, this day. Folks, it is still Hayom, this day, and we're still in that very same exile. The chapter ends with verse 28. The secret things belong unto Yahuwah RL, but the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children, Le'olam, Ad Olam in this case, forever, that we may do what? All of the words of this Torah, HaTorah. Do all of the words. All right, chapter 30, and I'll pause as we enter this one because I'm going to suggest that chapter 30, to my mind, is probably one of the most fundamental, not only in the book of Devarim or Deuteronomy, but arguably the whole Torah itself, because, as I've mentioned, it summarizes so much of the Torah, and it also underlines and emphasizes so many of the great, big, stinking, whopping, fetid lies that we've heard in Sun God Day School and that we recognize are just absolutely, once we read His Word as written, well, they're lies. The truth is not in them. And it begins with this, because we're going to see not only a lot of things that are important in terms of revealing the lie, but also, I will contend, a very important prophecy that we may be on the verge. I hope and pray that we're on the verge of seeing come to pass. And that's how it begins. It'll come to pass. It shall come to pass, he says. This is an unequivocal statement. It shall come to pass when all of these things have come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I've set before you, and you bethink yourself among all these nations, goyim, where Yahuwah Yirel has driven you. Let's pause. That's where we are. Here we are. In those lands, driven out, still in exile. And then he says this can happen. Are we there yet? You shall return unto Yahuwah your El, and hearken to his voice, according to all that I command you, Hayom, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul. This is Shema Israel, folks. This is the essence of Torah. Do it. Do it with all your heart, with all your soul, and there will come a time, even when you're in exile, even when you're scattered, that you will not only return, you will hearken. You'll begin to do it as written. What does he say? Then will Yahuwah Yirel turn your captivity. That word there, the root word, right? Shuv means turn around, return out of that captivity, and have compassion upon you. And he will return and gather you from all the peoples whither Yahuwah your El has scattered you. This is the first and most prominent place where we see this reference to the greater exit, if you will, the greater exodus, a return out of the places where we are and remain scattered back to the place where he will regather us. And here is how he lays that out. If any of you, or your thine, are dispersed to the uttermost parts of heaven, no matter where you are, from there will Yahuwah your El gather you, and from there will he fetch you. And Yahuwah your El will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you will possess it. And he will do you good and multiply you above your fathers. And Yahuwah your El will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed to love Yahuwah your El with all your heart, with all your soul, that you might live. Now, I want to pause because you will hear this argument. I honestly am kind of sick and tired of hearing it. Everything was confirmed. Everything was completed in 70 AD. Come on. And this happened too, and we didn't notice it. Yeshua came back, and we didn't notice it. I've said it before. If that's all he is, then that's pretty pitiful. No, I think when this happens, as you can see here, it'll be really obvious, undeniable, and I'm looking forward to it. But it's not like you could possibly convince me that we somehow missed it. He will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you will possess it. And Yahuwah will circumcise your heart. I read Jeremiah 31:31 and say, okay, that hadn't happened yet either. Because there are, it's still necessary for each one to teach his neighbor, saying, know Yahuwah, and so forth. And he will circumcise the heart of your seed to love Yahuwah your El with all your heart and with all your soul, that you might live. Again, we have to study. It has, I would say that it can happen, but certainly it's not universal to the extent that it's been promised here. That has not yet happened. And Yahuwah your El will put all these curses upon your enemies, on them that hate you, that persecuted you, and that arguably still are. And you shall then shuv, return, and hearken, shamar, unto the voice of Yahuwah, and do all of his commandments which I command you, hayom, this day. And Yahuwah your El will make you overabundant in the work of your hand, and the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your cattle. This is part of the initial blessing we saw in chapter 28. The fruit of your land for good. For Yahuwah will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers. Now here comes what I will contend is the section that puts to the lie to the great big lie, one of the biggest lies in all of human history that the whore church is promulgating. And it's basically, you can't possibly keep the law. Oh, don't even try. What a crock of unmitigated bull, you know what, folks. If, he says, you will hearken, shamar, listen, keep, do, obey, to the voice of Yahuwah your El, to keep his commandments and his statutes. The word there is mitzvotin, that's the plural, and hukatin. The commandments, hachuk, and then the plural of that, which are written in this book of the Torah, if you turn to Yahuwah your El with all your heart and with all your soul. Because, he says, for this commandment which I command you, hayom. You know what? If he says it's not too hard and the whore church says it is, I'm going to go with him. He says it's not too hard for you. We could stop right there. It's not. End of story. But wait a minute, because we've inherited that lie from our fathers and people actually believe that crap, he goes further. It's not too hard for you, nor is it really too far off. It's not up in heaven. And as I read this, you'll notice that I can't help but think there is quite a bit of sarcasm in here, and the very terminology that he uses is all about debunking this big whopping lie that you can't keep his Torah, it's too hard. What an unmitigated lie, calling the creator of the universe a liar. Doesn't get much worse than that, folks. It's not too hard for you. It's not too far off. It's not up in heaven, he says. You need to go up there and say, hey, who'll go up for us to heaven? Bring it down to us and make us hear it that we might do it. No. Nor is it beyond the sea that you need to say, who will go over the sea for us and fetch it on back and make us hear it so that we may do it? We get the picture? Nope, he says, the word, in fact, is very nigh unto you. It's in your mouth, in your heart, that you may do it. So he doesn't just make it as a declarative statement. It's not too hard, nor is it far off. He gives you some sarcastic examples and says, nope, don't be believing that BS. That you got to have somebody go fetch it for you. You got to have some priest tell you because you can't figure it out on your own. It's not that hard. The word is very nigh unto you. It's in your mouth and your heart so that what? You may do it. Now, here comes the conclusion, the thing that upon which the rest of the book rests. And ultimately, this is a fabulous summary of the blessings and the curses and the choice. It is the essence of the choice that each one of us has. See, he says, I've set before you Hayom, this day, life and good, death and evil. In that, I command you, Hayom, this day. This is going to sound familiar. To love Yahuwah Yirel, to walk in all of his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his ordinances. Then you shall live and multiply, and Yahuwah Yirel will bless you in the land that you go in to possess it. Pretty simple. Quite a promise. And as you might suspect, given what we've seen in mankind, there's a but. But if your heart turns away, and by the way, that's why we're still in exile, because that's exactly what happened. But if your heart turns away and you won't hear, but you in fact are drawn away and you choose to worship other gods and serve them, I declare unto you, Hayom, this day, that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days upon the land when you go over the Jordan River to go in and possess it. And here comes verse 19. Now this is arguably, folks, I think one of the most important verses in the book. It does contain that two-word summary, and I'll suggest that it's one that we ought to memorize. Because these same two witnesses, Moshe calls them, and in his first public address, Yeshua calls them, and that's the one that he uses to say, I'm not changing it, not one yod or tittle. Here we go. I call heaven and earth, two witnesses, to witness against you this day, Hayom, that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your seed may live. And I have joked about it in the past. It's not really funny, but it is true. This is an open book test, folks. It ought to be an open book. Choose life. And he already told us it's not that hard. We got no excuse. And now that we know, we are literally, and that's the term Yeshua uses, without excuse. So, heaven and earth witnesses Hayom this day. I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your seed may live. To love Yahuwah Yirel, to hearken to his voice, and to cleave unto him, because that is your life and the length of your days, that you might dwell in the land which Yahuwah swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. And guess what? This is actually a short portion. Actually, in a way, I could say it's a very long portion, because if you ponder the depth of the lies that we've been told, and how fundamentally, completely, it debunks those lies. Well, there is a lot of meat here in just a little over one chapter. And I can't emphasize it any more than he already has. He repeats it. He makes it clear. He calls those same witnesses, both here in Deuteronomy and then again in Matthew chapter 5, his first public address. The point is simple. The law? No. His instruction. His statutes, his judgments, commandments, all of the things that he has given us for our blessing, they're not too hard for us to do. He calls heaven and earth as witnesses. We have a choice, life and death or blessing and cursing. And the answer? Choose life, that we and our descendants might live. And honestly, folks, it doesn't get any more clear, more concise, or more fundamental than that.